First Kings chapter 17, 1 to 9. Now, Elijah, the Tishbite of Tibet in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go from here and turn eastwards and hide yourself in the Wadi Cherif, which is in east of Jordan. You shall drink from the Wadi, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the Wadi Cherif, which was in the east of Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the Wadi. But after a while, the Wadi dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
I'm a Hebrew speaker of sorts. So I want us to do something. A little Hebrew. Okay, let us say Baruch Haba Yeshua. Welcome Jesus. Baruch Haba Yeshua. Welcome Jesus. Welcome Jesus. Welcome Jesus. The title of my message is called "A Place Called There." A Place Called There. From the scripture that has been so beautifully read to us, I just want to summarize. After Elijah proclaimed drought over the land of Israel, God told him to go to a particular place called the Brook of Cherith, a place called there. And God said he will command the ravens to look after him, and then he will drink from the brook. Of course, he went there, and God provided for him there. But soon, the brook ran dry, and the ravens didn't show up. And Elijah inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, "Now go to Zarephath, to a widow's house. I have also commanded her to look after you there." From this simple scripture, we see some things. God never changes, yet he's constantly moving and doing new things. Can you hold that tangent? God never changes, yet he's constantly moving and doing new things. Do you know that today God wants to do something new in your life? If you believe that, say, "Lord, do something new in my life." God is dynamic by nature. Anyone who wants to walk with God must be ready to move with God. Praise the Lord. God is never static. Never. And the fact that God does something yesterday or does it this way doesn't mean that he's going to do it the same way tomorrow. You have to be ready for changes when you are working with God. Some of those changes can be so radical that it will require you to really sacrifice. That's God. I'll tell you a few of my stories. I think I've got a bit more time here, so I can share some stories. The fact that Hebrews 13:8 says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever must never be confused with the fact that he's static. Being the same doesn't mean he's static. God is always moving. From Genesis to Revelation, he's moving. Today, he's moving. I remember once I was having a chat with some people in Nigeria. You know, sometimes in Nigeria, we need to have a bit of exposure about what's going on globally with the church, because we have very successful churches in Nigeria, very successful, big churches, huge churches. So some of the pastors are my friends. And we're having a conversation, and they were like being a bit negative about the move of God around the world. And I said to them, I said, hey, you guys, we are not considering what God is doing in the nations. And I began to show them with evidence, videos, and things like what God is doing in different nations, in Iran, in Iraq, in places where we will never even believe God is moving, in Saudi Arabia. I began to show them. And I said to them, don't think the church ends with Nigeria. Doesn't end with us. Thank God for the grace on Nigeria. There's a lot of grace on us. There's a lot of grace on Nigeria, but the church doesn't end with us. We're not the full expression of the body of Christ. And if we think that we're the only ones, then we have missed the game. We have a lot to learn from many, many different nations. A lot. And if anything happened to me, it's like when I was missions director in this church, I was exposed to different nations. I could see the work of God in nations. And I knew that God had different ways in which he operated in different places. We have to respect that. Praise the Lord. Elijah was told by God to go to the brook Cherith. And God said, I will feed you there. And ravens, can you imagine ravens? Ravens are not birds that are known to care. In fact, you know what their image, what ravens stand for? Don't let me go there. So for a raven to bring food to somebody is a double miracle. In fact, I understand ravens don't even care for their young. How much more to be bringing food, not only breakfast, but dinner every day. And then one day, ravens didn't come again. I asked myself the question, and I want to ask you the question too. What would you do if you were in Elijah's shoe and the ravens didn't show up? Let me tell you what I would do. Okay? My first point of is to say, devil, I rebuke you. Stop holding my provision down. Second thing, ravens, come forth in Jesus' name. Bring my bread. Bring my meat. And now I've been praying amiss. May God not let us pray amiss. Prayer and intercession is not my idea. It's not your idea. It is what is on his heart. We have a heavenly high priest. We have a chief high priest who is our intercessor. And all intercession derives from him. I learned this in this church. Amen? To pray in line with Jesus. Pastor Malcolm, I'll tell you a secret. I have many secrets. The only prayer I prayed about this meeting was, God, let my heart be lined up with what you are doing. The rest is story. God, let my heart be aligned with what you are doing. That's my prayer point. Because I don't want to do anything that God is not doing. I don't want to pray what God is not praying. I don't want to preach what God is not preaching, because it is all wasted effort. Amen? So, when God told him to go to the house of a widow, thank God he obeyed and went there. Tell your neighbor, you need to go there. Whatever God is instructing us to do, we need to obey him. The challenge is that most of us want to remain in the old and yet possess the new. It's not possible. You are fighting a lost battle. You have to leave one to embrace the other. You have to leave one place to go to the next place. God has something new for you and I. And we have to embrace it. But in embracing it, we have to let go of some things. Imagine if Elijah said, I want to stay in Brook Cherith and I want to live in the house of the widow. How possible is that? It's not possible. He got to move. Praise the Lord. I want to say to you, as a church, that God is leading us in this time, as KTLCC Network, into new things. Amen. God is laying, and as I'm almost convinced the foundation has been laid for us to go to a new place in the spirit and to do new things in the spirit and to conquer new territories in the spirit. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Can you hear what the Lord is saying? You know, I sat down there and I was looking across the congregation and I said, in this meeting, there are apostles, there are bishops, there are prophets, there are apostles, there are evangelists, there are people in the marketplace, there are CEOs of companies inside this place today. See, if you want the best of God, you've got to be ready to walk with God and move with Him. I am going to try to bring some stories to you that might help. So I just spoke about Elisha. Let's go to Terah. Terah was the father of Abraham. And between you and me, Bible is not clear if the Lord did call Terah. But Terah knew that the destination was Canaan. And he picked up his family, including Abraham, and made to go to Canaan. But they got to a place called Haran. And when he got to Haran, he decided to stay there a bit. I think he got comfortable and he lived there. And the Bible said he died there. The danger of settling for what looks good as opposed to what is glorious. God has a place called there for us. It's the glory place. We will not settle in Haran. Hello? Tell your neighbor, you will not settle in Haran. You will not die in Haran. You will not die in the halfway house. We are going to get to the destination God has planned for us. Amen? Amen? You are looking a bit strange this morning. Come on. Tell your neighbor, you will not die in Haran. I'm telling you, we need to proclaim this to ourselves. You will not stop short of God's best for you. Amen? By His grace, by His power, by the anointing of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will get there. Tell your neighbor, I will get there. Hallelujah. What has God got for you? What's in your future? Amen? Then we see Abraham. After his father died, the Bible said, and you need to read the scriptures well. The Bible says, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your father's house, of your family, and of your country, and go to a land that I will show you, a place called there. And Abraham left, not knowing where he was going, but he eventually got there. Put your hand on your chest, say, I will get there. By the grace of God. Hey, I wish you understand the depth of this. That you will not stop short of what God has planned for you. Abraham got there, and today the rest we can say is history. He got there. Praise the Lord. How about David? David, he had this group of men, 400 of them. I call them rabble. I've written some things about David, and one of them is he had this rabble of 400 men. The Bible called them discontented, indebted, and diseased, and whatever else, the disease you can think about, the solution, the this whatever. They were just this. But David taught them some things. In the cave of Adullam, they were first in the cave of Adullam, David taught them how to fellowship together. He taught them how to depend on God, how much God can supply and meet their needs, but he didn't leave them there. From there, he asked God, where next? God said, go to Hebron. Go up to Hebron. He went to Hebron, and there they built an army. The army was so powerful that the Bible said it was like the army of God. How do you turn a rabble into an army of God? Tell your neighbor, move. Yes, go there. Go there. Go there. I've never been in the military, except I'm in the Lord's army. Amen? But I do know something, that in military, you have to go through maneuvers, exercises, before they put you on the operation field. Amen? And when you see those generals with all those epaulets, I think I got it right, and those, whatever it is, flags of nations, it is symbolic of where they have been. Amen? Amen? Some of you, God wants to give you some of those kind of things based on how much you move with him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then we talk, okay, then they left Hebron and went to a place called Zion. This is very important. When they got to Zion, Zion was a high place. It was difficult to conquer because there were Jebusites in the land. And the Jebusites had one revelation that David will not conquer this place because the blind and the lame will repel him. What does this mean for us? I believe for you to be a Zion person, you have to be somebody that sees and can walk. Amen? You have to see what God is doing and you have to be ready to obey God and follow God. Praise the Lord. And David took the stronghold of Zion, and the mystery is that they took it through walking through the water channels. That's a revelation I need you to have. What was that about? It was that they were ready to stick with the word of God and flow with the word of God and walk with the word of God, and that took them to Zion. Tell your neighbor, walk with the word of God. Walk with the promises of God. The next two are very pivotal for KTLCC. They are very important words for us as a church. The first one is Moses. Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They now were at the Red Sea. Are you with me? And they had a difficult situation because Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh were coming after them. Typical pastor situation. So Moses blabbed out. Well, whatever it was, maybe it was the unction of the Holy Spirit, I don't know. He said, stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. And then immediately after, I'm sure he went to the Lord and said, Lord, help me. We're in trouble. Red Sea in front, army of Pharaoh behind. We're finished unless you do something here. And the Lord asked him, what's in your hand? He said, it's the rod. God said, okay, that rod is important, but tell the people to move forward. Tell the people, what did he say? He said, stand still. God said, move forward. Sometimes in our standing still, we're missing God. You need to move forward. Some of you want to hold on to something. Meanwhile, God is saying, go there. I've got a new thing. I've got a new place. I've got a new vision for you. I've got a new grace that I want you to tap into. Let me tell you a quick story. I think I can. I started ministry in this church. I was sitting row 3 or row 4 in the transept. I used to come to 9 o'clock service. If I like it, I'll stay for 11. Confession. If I don't like it, I go home. Some of you do that. I'm a KT child, true and true. So one Sunday I was there, 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the service, I was worshiping God, enjoying the anointing. Oh, Father God, thank you for this Sunday again. I've come for my Sunday download. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, what are you doing here? Every Sunday you have been coming, sitting down in the church, not doing anything. Get involved in the ministry. I said, how? He said, get up. Go to the back of the room, the back of this place here. There was a room there. He said, there are people praying there. Go and join that prayer meeting. So I got up. I went out there. I knocked on the door. The ladies, it was all ladies. They opened the door. Mama June and the rest shouted, ha! Praise the Lord. We have been praying that God will send men to us. This is how my ministry started in this church. Prayer at the back room. What is God telling you to do? What is God telling you to do? Step up. Step up. Joshua. Is there a Joshua in the house? Praise the Lord. You know when Moses parted the Red Sea, what did he use? He used his rod, right? Do you know Joshua was there? Joshua was observing everything that was going on. So when they came to the Jordan, and the Jordan was in full flood, and they knew they couldn't cross it by natural means, I'm sure he must have been thinking, I wish I had Moses' rod. But thank God, God spoke to him. God said, no, this one is not going to be by the rod of Moses. It's going to be by the ark-bearing Levites. And when they put their foot in the Jordan will split open. So, when they put their foot in the Jordan split open. Let me tell you something about power and about anointing and about walking in miracles and signs and wonders, which I believe is an inheritance for this house. Amen? Raise your hand. Tell your neighbor, I'm anointed for miracles. We are called to it. We are called to it. And there are some people, they will not believe God until they see signs and wonders. Now, if you want to walk in signs and wonders, you have to be ready to be vulnerable. Amen? Is that the word? Vulnerable. That is, you must step out into a place where if God don't catch you, you are finished. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. At 9 o'clock, I told them a story of our trip to Mali. No, sorry, Benin Republic, a place called Paracou in the northern part of Benin Republic. And during the day, normally when we're having crusades, we do teaching in the morning, and then in the evening, we minister to people. And so I was waiting on the Lord during the time that we had, like 4 hours period before the crusade started. I was just praying, Shakalaba, Lord, anoint me this evening. Lord, do miracles. And suddenly, the Lord was in the room. And the Lord said to me, tonight, I will open blind eyes. And then as quickly as he came, he left. Okay, no problem. I went to the meeting, I preached. I preached on the kingdom of God. It was a very 15-minute message. I was ready to go for the miracles. That was where my heart was. Let's see the miracles. So I preached 15 minutes. I gave the altar call. People gave their lives. Then I said, God wants to heal blind people today. Of course, you know, man of power for the hour. Meanwhile, I didn't know what was going to happen. I shouted. The blind men came, 5 of them. They lined them up in front of me. So, of course, reality now dawns on me. 5 blind men and a pastor who is not sure if God will do what he said. So I raised my hand. I said, Jesus, heal the blind eyes. I closed my eyes. After I prayed, I looked. They were still blind. I stretched my hand again. I said, Lord, heal the blind eyes. You promised me. Nothing happened the second time. So this time I thought, okay, I must be doing something wrong. I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong? He said, Charles, is that how you pray? Is that how to pray for the blind? I said, how? He said, rebuke the blindness and command the eyes to open. Simple instruction. So, third time, I closed my eyes still. Because I didn't want to know whether it was going to happen or not. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, spirit of blindness, and I command every blind eyes in the name of Jesus, open. And then I opened my eyes. And it was like somebody walked through the line, switching them on, one after the other. The 5 of them all got healed. But let me tell you the strangest part of it. There was beggars have helpers, all right? Blind people, they always have somebody who is holding them. And so there was one guy who had a helper. So when the guy's eyes opened, his helper screamed and ran. He ran so fast out of the meeting because he didn't believe it. And the guy was looking at him and said, I can see. The guy took off and ran. I thought, wow. But the point is this. It is crossing that Rubicon, crossing that place where you are not dependent on yourself anymore. You are totally dependent on the Lord. That is what produces this power. You see, anointing can be latent. It can be resident in you. But until you engage, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. God has something for you. There is territory to be conquered until your feet touches that place. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. I want us to read a scripture together. The book of Isaiah. Let me have my next slide. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. People of God, Kesi Temple, London City Church, churches, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. The old is gone. We thank God for the old, but the new has come. And to be able to walk with God, you got to step into the new. There's a place called there. Tell your neighbor there's a place called there. God is moving us on. We are entering a new apostolic season. Let me repeat that. We are entering a new apostolic season. We are going to break open new territories. We are going to conquer new territories, new churches, new nations, new relationships. God is working. And guess what? He's going to use you and I. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. My God. My God, I wish. Let me get back to my notes. I want to start preaching, but I want to get back to my notes. You know, when God was ministering to me, he was telling me, he said, everything that you have been dreaming, you have been imagining, I have been showing you over these years is now coming into fruition. We are in a new apostolic era. This church, this network, God has ordained it for great work. And if we rest on the past and we sit in the past, we will never get to the future. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. We will get there. Tell your neighbor we will get there. Hallelujah. We must celebrate the success of the past. We must thank God for it. Like Pastor Malcolm said, God has been our Ebenezer. I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories of how God moves. You know, I was telling you how I started. So after prayer, after leading prayer, starting prayer, you know, doing prayer. Mama June taught me a lot about prayer. So I learned how to pray. I started praying a lot. Praying. Everything was prayer. Then I went to Bible school. So when I was in IBOL, God spoke to me and said, I want you to plant a church. I said, where? God said, Center of London. I said, where is the center of London? He said, go to King's Cross. So I found myself in King's Cross. When I got to King's Cross, I said to the Lord, okay, I'm in King's Cross. Where do we plant the church? God said to me, there's a building in the middle of King's Cross. I will give it to you. Of course. I began to pray. God said, there's a building, center of King's Cross, where we're going to have church. Then God gave me another thing. He said, the church must start on the 2nd of October, 1993. I said, Lord, no building, just a few people, no money, and you're telling me a building and all. I said, okay, I will obey. I found myself in King's Cross. Started praying, walking prayer. One day, the Lord, I got frustrated. I said, Lord, you are not showing me where the building is. I'm frustrated. So the Lord told me, I have already given the key to the building to one member in your church. The person will tell you when you meet them, and they will tell you where the building is. So I asked him, who is the person? So he told me. So I went to this lady in the morning. I said, last night I was praying, and God told me, he has told you where the building is. She said, no, God hasn't said anything to me. I said, no, God told me. God doesn't lie now. So tell me, what did God show you? Pastor, I think God showed me a building with a dome. That's what she said. And the minute she said it, I understood where she was talking about. Now, you need to hear this story because it's a very interesting story. I got up. I went to the place with about four of us. We knocked on the door of this building. They told us, this is the entrance. We went through the entrance, went up. I met the owners. And I said to them, God told us, you have a place for us to have church. And the man looked at me and said, he mentioned the number, which was not a number that people like us can handle. So I said to him, we can't afford that, but the person who sent us can afford it. I said, the person who sent us can afford it. He said, okay. So are you ready to go forward? Should we sign people? I said, no, I'm not signing people. Let me go and consult the person who sent us. Anyway, long and short of the matter was after a couple of days, I went back to the guy. I said to him, this building, can we have some agreement how we can work there? He said to me, he said, the only way is to give me the money. So anyway, long and short of it was, the guy said, you're time wasters, get out of this place. And he was about to chase us away. Then I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you sent me here. Now we're about to be sent away. Is there something I need to know that I'm not knowing? The Lord told me something. Pastor Malcolm, I'm not joking. Totally strange word. He said, ask the man about his red sports car. I'm not joking. I'm not lying. People who were in House of Hope can tell you this story. I said, sir, how is your red sports car? The man got up, went to the chest of drawers, pulled out a bunch of keys, and said, follow me. Do you answer the red sports car issue? Follow me. Took me to the door, opened the door, and said, this shall be your entrance. Before I knew it, we found ourselves in this place, very well furnished upper room, where we could have church, a cinema. Everything was there. All the equipments were there. Everything was there. So the guy now told me, I've discussed with my partners, they will take a reduced rate. So it came down by about a quarter. I said, the person who sent me can afford it. The long and short of it was, on the third day or fourth day, he called me again. He said, Charles, where's the money? I said, it hasn't come yet. He said, don't tell me you want this building for free. I said, yes, free. And you know what he said? He said, let me go talk to my partners. I'll come back to you. And he went. And the following morning, he called me and said, they said you can have it for free, but you need to give us a deposit. I said, how much? He said, £500. I said, come on, I can afford £500. Let's do it. I gave the guy a check of £250, not £500. Do you know, he never cashed the check. We were in that building for 3 to 4 years, not a penny, no rent. Now, I'm saying this to tell you that God does lead. But you have to be flexible with God. Now, after 3 years in House of Hope, planting a church, doing everything, God now says, you've done enough here. Go back to KT Central. Come on. I wasn't happy at all. Yeah, because the church was successful. It was growing. Everything was happening there. People were coming. And God said, go to KT. I said, no, Lord. You are wrong. You cannot be telling me to leave what I planted. You cannot be telling me that. If we are just in the middle of the breakthrough, now you're telling me to get up and go. I'm not going anywhere. And then I started coming to church on Sunday. I will preach, and my messages were dead. There was no anointing. There was no grace. I stayed in that condition for 2 years. Yeah, the heart of man is hard. My heart was hard. One day I broke down. I started crying. He said, go to KT. So I came to KT. I saw Pastor Colin. I said to him, God is telling me to come and walk in Central. He said, I've been waiting for you. So I thought, okay, I've been a pastor, I've applied to the church. From here, they're going to bless me and give me one nice title. He said, go and work in the missions department. I was just in there. But you know, God was at work. What happened next was that the nations opened up to me. Like, no, I cannot explain how many nations I went to. Those of you that were part of that will tell you. We went so many places. But it had to take obedience. Amen? It had to take obedience. Now let me drive this home. You see, if you want to walk with God, you have to understand that God has a love language. Amen? How many of you have read the book, Five Love Languages? If you read it, raise your hand. Some of you. Okay, I recommend it's a very nice book. But God has a love language. What is God's love language? What is God's love language? Obedience. Tell your neighbor obedience. You can never say you love God unless you're obeying him. And I'm telling you, when God asks you to do some things, it is not convenient. God is not as concerned about your convenience as he's about your destiny and your purpose. And I don't know anybody who is a man or a woman of destiny that didn't have to lay down something to enter the purpose of God. I don't know one. God will challenge you. God will ask you questions. questions. God will upset your comfort. Hello? Hello? Don't get comfortable. In fact, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Do you get that? Get comfortable being uncomfortable. So that God was next. God was next. God was next. During the time of missions in this church, God will tell me, I need you to go to this country by this date. I can tell you stories that those days God picked were precise. And if we miss it by one day, we would have missed what God was doing. Amen? Why am I telling you stories? Because really, when you walk with God, it's an adventure. You discover many beautiful things about Him. Praise the Lord. Please, can I have my next slide? I want to ask you a question. Next slide. Yeah. What is God saying to you? Is God telling you it's time for you to go to IBRL? Is God telling you it's time for you to plant a cell? Is God telling you it's time for you to plant a church? What's God saying to you? Is God telling you it's time to start a business? Stop being an employee, be an employer. Or is God telling you, well, the job you're working in now, even though it's comfortable, move somewhere else. God may have something new for you, but you got to hear Him and then obey Him. God is never wrong. I'm going to say that again. God is never wrong. Never. It may not sound right to you. It may not be logical to you. And I'm telling you, God doesn't have to work with your logic. Your logic is too small for God. But when God is working, you got to understand that whatever He chooses for you is right for you. Praise the Lord. I know that's a word for somebody specific. So I have experienced some of these kind of methods of God. What is God saying to you? What's God challenging you to do? Where is the new place? Where's the new thing? Praise the Lord. Now, I will not be balanced if I don't share with you the other side of this story. Amen? There's another side to this story. And if you put up the next slide, I'll share with you. In Luke chapter 17, verse 32, the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. I'll repeat that scripture again. Luke 17, 32. Remember Lot's wife. What was this about? God told them to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and go to a place. He told them where they were to go. They negotiated, they got halfway somewhere. But this woman, when the fire fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, she looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. And the Bible tells us this is an example for you and I that we should learn from that. Sometimes, in holding too much to your past, you are compromising your future. Hello? Can I be real with you? Can I be real with you? There are some things God wants you to get out of. There are some things God wants you to leave alone. There are some things you are doing that God says, enough, you've had enough there. Move here. I've got something for you there. And you've got to obey God. I have discovered that this is one of the secrets of being successful as a person that is working with God. Is following Him. Hello? Hello? The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Why do people not move forward? Why? I've got a few reasons. Number one, past successes. If you have had a successful past, it can hinder your successful future. Let me explain this to you. The people of the world say the enemy of the best is good, Abby. So good is good, best is best, but there's something else after best. It's called glorious. That is, God is doing something. And I want to tell you, I like good, I like best, but I prefer glorious. I prefer to be in the glory. I prefer to be in the move of God. I prefer to be where God is working. And I want to tell you, as a house, God is calling us to the glorious. Amen? We are coming into the glory time. The glory company. The glory carriers. And this will require us to not hold on to what has passed, but to embrace that which is coming. Past failures can stop you. Past failures. Because you can get traumatized by failure and you don't try again. Number three, you can become comfortable and sometimes become too familiar with something you don't want to change. Number four, you can have an unwillingness to pay the price, P-R-I-C, for the price. There is always a price to pay. There's always a price to pay. It might be something simple, but God will ask of you. I can tell you stories. Abraham, God told him, he said, take this, your son Isaac, that you love. Take him to a mountain, I will show you, and offer him as a burnt offering to me. My God, what kind of instruction is that? I don't know about you, but I always think about this thing. How will I tell Abby that God told me to take our son up a mountain and offer him as a burnt offering? It's not good to walk. I will not get out of that, in that house that day. It's not going to happen. So I don't know if Abraham discussed it with Sarah. That's another story for another day. But do you know when he got up that mountain, the Bible said that God showed him a ram. All right? This Bible, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. What did Abraham see? Abraham saw that God will provide the substitute. Abraham saw that God would bring a savior. Abraham saw that his own sacrifice was not God was looking for. God was going to give him the right sacrifice. Amen? There are things you discover when you step out in obedience. There are things, you know, we begin to realize that even what we thought we laid down for God was nothing compared to where God was taking us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, church, let us understand these things. And the last one, of course, which I think, one more, is that I call them life lemons. Life lemons. You know, hurts, health issues, discouragement, what I call the pain chain. You know, the pain can become a chain, you know, and we all go through things, okay? But I want to tell you something. There is provision for your predicament. Christ has come. He has shed his blood. He has risen from the dead for us. And he has given us the way out of all pain, out of all bondage. It is through his cross. I want to tell you, it does not matter what your pain is. It doesn't matter what your predicament is. I'm not discounting it, but I'm telling you, the provision of God precedes your pain. God has already made provision. God has already made. And you know, this week we're praying. We're praying together. We're going to pray into this. We're going to believe God for you to be healed, for you to be delivered, because God wants you healed and delivered. Because God has a place for you called there. He wants to move you into something new. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let me wrap up. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. This is learning from Paul, the Apostle Paul. He says, not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For me, I like what I call spiritual logic. Amen? Spiritually logical. Amen? So spiritual logical is not naturally logical. All right? But I'm telling you, to be spiritually logical is to know that to go to the future, you have to leave the past alone. It's a spiritual logic. To go to the future, you have to leave the past alone. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, what past are you holding on to that God has said you should let go? Ask your neighbor. It's a question you should ask them. Where is God leading you to? What is God telling you to step into? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you see, Paul was very clear. He said, look, I have attained a lot, but I don't think much on those things anymore. Whatever it is that God did, I thank him for it. But I know he has more for me. Praise the Lord. He has more for you. He has more for you. Oh, Lord, you don't believe me. I said, God has more for you. There is more in your future. Whatever you think you have done to be successful, or whatever you think you have done that is successful, I'm telling you, God has more. Amen. From glory to glory to glory to glory. You know, I ran a business for a number of years in Nigeria. I was CEO of a kind of multinational kind of agency. And very, very successful company. We had legacy like no man's business. But God was telling me, all that you have achieved is nothing compared to where I want you to go. So as a pastor, prophet, whatever you want to call me in the marketplace, I went to God and I said, God, show me where we're going. And I got a download and I painted the picture to all these people. I said, this is where God is saying we're going to go. I mean, forget it. I wasn't so spiritual. I wasn't so worldly, even in the marketplace. I still spoke to them as a pastor because they knew I was a pastor. I said, God said, this is where we're going. This is what God is doing for us. This is where we want. They were looking at me. And eventually it came out that nobody wanted to leave the past alone. They were so concerned about where we were. I was seeing, I was even reading the markets. I knew something was changing. God forgive us. But eventually they didn't go there. And the rest, like I say, is history. I don't want to tell you what happened to the company, but you can guess. God just told me, it's time to go. Yeah, and I had to leave. Because you see, if you're not ready to move with God, there's no real help we can offer. Amen? Can you hold your neighbors and tell them, whatever you do, follow God. Whatever you do, follow God. God is never wrong. He's never wrong. Let me try to bring this to a close. Luke 13. On that very day, some Pharisees came saying to him, to Jesus, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go tell that fox. Hello? Go tell that fox. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. I want to tell you something, people of God. We have to have focus. Tell your neighbor, focus. We have to have a cast iron focus on the future God has for us. We cannot allow anything to deter us from that, even the fox. Amen. Amen. The fox will not stop you. Why do I know that? Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I know that there might be opposition, but I'm telling you, every time we step out under the anointing, under the grace of God, we will conquer. There is victory in the life of this church. There is victory over the people of God. There is victory in your next move. There is victory in your next step. There is victory. 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 I'm telling you, there is victory. People of God, I am telling you, go tell that fox. Kasini Temple, we're coming. We're coming. We're coming for London. We're coming for UK. We're coming for the nations. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming for the industries. We're coming for businesses. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming. Are you gonna go? Are you gonna go? Come on, we're coming. Go tell that fox. We're coming. We're coming in the anointing. We're coming in the glory. We're coming in the power of God. We're coming to liberate. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Malcolm gave a word the other day. He said, this church is a gate church. Hallelujah. 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 Nations are waiting. Cities are waiting. bottles. We're coming to your bottle. We're coming to your word. We're taking it for Jesus. We're coming. We're coming for the seven mountains. We're coming into politics. We're coming into finances. We're coming into economy. We're coming into childcare. We're coming into healthcare. We're coming. We're coming to education. We're coming to transform. We're coming to redeem. We're coming to impose the knowledge of Christ. We're coming with the kingdom word. We're coming with the kingdom spirit. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming, church. We're coming. Amen. How about you? I'm asking you a question. Which fox is stopping you? Which fox? Which fox? Do you know how many times we have been threatened? Threatened. In Mali, they told us, we'll kill you. We'll kill you if you come and preach here. We'll kill you. And of course, as a wise man who loves his wife and children much, I said the wise thing to do is to go back to London. And as I was contemplating that, the Lord said to me, you're not going nowhere. You stay here. Nothing will happen to you. Not even one strand of hair. Nothing will touch you here. And we stepped out. My God. You know, I don't want to go into stories, but I'm telling you, we preached five nights. Five nights in the middle of opposition. The pastors, for the first night, they were all shaking like this. With these people, they have come, brought trouble. But do you know, after that first night, when we finished preaching, they brought security, they brought all these policemen to guard us, to look after us. The first people who gave their lives to Jesus were the policemen. So they came forward and we had no more security. So I raised my hand. I said, Lord, we're in your hands. Amen. Amen. And God looked after us. God looked after us. I'm telling you, do not be afraid. Do not fear the threats. You know, London and the world for Jesus Christ is going to be a reality. You know what is coming next? It's called the glory of God. The glory is coming. And you and I are going to walk in that glory. We are going to be like an army with banners, walking through all the opposition of the enemy. And I can tell you, the story of KTLCC has not yet been told. I'm telling you, there is a greater future ahead of us. Amen? And God wants to use you. I want you to put your hands on your chest. I'm going to close. And I want you to say, Lord, use me in this season. Help me to go there. Help me not to be stuck in the past. Help me not to be stuck in tradition, in religion. Help me not to be stuck even in the success of the past. Help me to move forward. Lord, use me in this season. I'm asking you to use me. I'm asking you to use me. I'm asking you to use me, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you all stand to your feet just quickly? We're going to just do something very prophetic. We're going to do something very prophetic. I know it might be hard for you in the front row, but you know, however you can do it, do it. Raise up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I move forward. Just take a move in the spirit. I move forward in the name of Jesus. Now begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. This is not flesh and blood. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. You don't know what will happen when you take that move. You don't know what river is going to part. You don't know what walls are going to come down when you make that move. Move forward. We're going to a place called there. The place of the glory of God. Kataria bashiandaya. Rebaka siandara mandurubu. Mandele bere keteri adoraba. Masoko tolo protoko shadabaya. Rabo kosotoria masaya. Baraka talibro koto sataya. Lebatoria masaya. Banto koseke tekelebrete. Rabo kosiadayaba. Press it, press it, press it, press it. It's time to move forward. Shalaba. Kalaba. We break every stronghold, every limiting factor. We will not be limited. We will not be controlled. We will not be compelled. We're gonna go in the liberty and the freedom that Christ has secured for us. It's a day of victory for us. Malibra Nakaya. Roka Tabayanda. Nela Broto Kosaya. Zaba Baba. Neba Rabasatayaba. Oh, Rabasiando Kolobradaya. Nebra Doko Sotoyaba. Nebra Doko Satayaba. Hey. Hey. Kabaria Daribo Shetiribi. Malo Breteke Sataya. In Jesus' name, open your mouth and declare, I'm moving forward. I'm going to get there. In the name of Jesus, I will get there. I will get there. In the name of Jesus. Somebody give Jesus a loud hallelujah in this place. I will get there.